Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest for our repeat visit, Captain Jack. Last week he was talking about sports betting in particular, and this week we're talking about what each of the three of us saw at the G2E, which is the biggest gaming show in Las Vegas. So, Captain Jack, presumably you looked at a lot of sports betting things at the show. So, before you talk about sports betting for AP, if there were any casino executives listening to this, and this is posted on at least one site, because CDC Gaming reports that casino managers do read or do listen to, what would you tell casino managers who are running a sports book how to do it better?
You know, that's a good question. And the AP response is usually, well, give me the world. Give me, lower VIG. Give me minus 105 on each side.
I want a senior discount.
Right, exactly. All these things that might not be in the casino's best interest in the long term to implement. But that's not my advice. My advice would be, don't fleece your recreational bettors. You know, these are the people that are the bread and butter of the sports betting industry. And oftentimes, when you get to a lower limit bet, you get situations where they just offer horrible lines and VIG to these players. I'll use the example of DFS. DFS has a built-in 9 to 11% VIG, and what happens is players see the commercials for DraftKings or FanDuel, and they sign up and they start playing and they lose. And it's something like, 94% of players lose on DFS over their first, 3 months of play because it's really tough to beat. And so there's no reason they need to take that 9 to 11% because that's just kind of eating into them at a faster rate. They're like a log heading into a buzzsaw. I think what a lot of sports books need to do is recognize their recreational bettors and don't fleece them, give them a fair gamble. It's something I saw at G2E, is the difference between the American model of sports betting and the European model of sports betting. And the American model seems to be a lot more, we'll give you a gamble. And I think a lot of sports books need to continue with that and give the player a gamble and let them, have VIG that's not out of hand and let them have parlay odds that aren't ridiculous. Because in the long term, they're still going to lose. A sports book is going to make money dealing 11 to 10 all day long. So go ahead and be comfortable with your recreational bettors and let them have a decent gamble at it.
All right. What else did you see in sports betting at the G2E?
Right. So G2E was pretty amazing. And there was a huge focus on sports betting this year. Rightly so. We have the legalized states coming online. There's an emerging market in the United States. There's a worldwide emerging market because this is the global gaming expo. And we saw both in the educational sessions, there was a ton of sports betting content. In fact, I think there was a whole track of the sports betting symposium. On the exhibit floor, there was a lot of B2B, business to business. There was a lot of, we'll give you a turnkey operation for your sports book. We'll manage the back end. We'll customize, give you a white label creation here, which you flash your brand name on, and we're controlling the guts of it. That's not as interesting to your audience. That's not consumer facing. When it came to consumer facing products, the things that I saw were largely just innovation based.
Like what?
One of the innovations we're going to see a lot of with sports betting is the ability to be more convenient in where you place your bet. We saw vendors that had the ability to overlay a sports betting window into your slot machine. You're playing your favorite slot or video poker, and a window slides in from the left or the right, and you can make your bet on the sports event that evening without having to get up and walk to the sports book or use your mobile app. as an AP, this is very interesting. The ability to create, make a bet without somebody seeing your face is key to a lot of advantage play. Facial recognition software is emerging, but facial recognition brain waves in humans has is pretty well established. And I'm sure there'll be some way for them to profile that, but you know, that's one of the things that was interesting. The other point that I saw that's a major point of emphasis.
So if they're not going to do that, it's going to have to be really low limits.
Right, probably. And there's probably a player's card that'll need to be involved and things like that and, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, but even if it's, if there's not a player's card, but even if it's a $100 limit, you know, if you can just go to dozens of slot machines making a $100 bet at a time, you know, you can get money down that way.
Yeah, yeah. The other innovation I saw is streaming. And now this is big in Europe. This is a lot of sports leagues over there have sold the streaming rights to their games. And what this means is a sports betting vendor can offer the live feed of the game being played while having an overlay of various bets you can have on in-play betting, in-game wagering on that game. This is where the leagues in the United States are really going to make their money because they're going to be able to sell these streaming rights. And they haven't yet, and I think they're waiting to see who's going to be the first. The first in the United States is going to be one of these minor sports leagues, like these new football leagues that are starting up. The XFL is coming back, and you know we have the Arena Football League that's struggling to stay alive, and we have there's the other one that I'm, I think it's the AAL or something like that. These are the guys that are going to say, okay, we need to embrace sports betting and sell our streaming rights and see if this is a way for people to both watch our games and bet on our games. So all the major players, you know, Scientific Games, IGT, they all had streaming products where you can overlay a betting onto a live feed. I talked to one vendor who they said, we have the exclusive streaming rights to squash. And they were proud of that. I said, well, if that gets me to watch a squash game because I can bet on it on the same screen, I guess you've done your job, but I still don't think I'm going to watch a game of squash. I'm not even quite sure how that's played, to be honest with you.
Okay, good. So now one of the problems with in-stream betting is if in a football game, if you're going to bet whether the next play is a pass, there's an approval time lag or something. So sometimes you don't know if your bet is down when the play is made. And perception, it seems like, well, if you bet on a completed pass and it was incomplete, then your bet is always taken. And if you bet on it incomplete, it's always not taken. And it's probably not true. I'm assuming these sports, they're done reputably. But it sure seems that way, and that's a problem.
I think that's a big assumption. And actually, we did talk about that last week, but I mean, that's something that should be regulated as well. And it's probably something that's been overlooked, I would guess, in New Jersey and things, right? I mean...
Yeah, so in-game betting is a lot like that, and that's been the way for a while, is as you place your bet and sometimes it's approved, sometimes it's not approved, and you're kind of doing it over and over again, and sometimes you think there's some guy on the other end going, no, I'm not going to prove it, not going to prove it, not going to prove it. Oh, wait, that play just happened. Okay, I'll prove it so that he loses. That's probably not the case, but in a regulated market, we can know that's not the case because there could be regulations, there could be oversight on the situation. The key point to look to, though, is this is being done in Europe. It's been done in Europe for years. It's been successful in Europe. And while the European model may have a slant that is, you know, sports betting is there to make the sports book money and nothing else, you know, in other words, they have an anti-winning kind of slant towards their bookmaking. The American model is largely, you know, we'll give you a gamble. And so I think when we marry those two together and we have in-game betting where they're going to still give you a gamble and we have a regulated environment, in-play sports betting could really be huge. And one of the things that I also saw at G2E is there's a push by sports leagues to get in-arena betting. So in other words, it's not subject to a live feed or a, you know, something like that where you're watching the game with the broadcast delay. But this is actually betting on your device while sitting in the arena watching the game.
Well, that would be another place for them to really make money. Because
correct.
That they could have a legitimate ask for a piece of the pie.
Yes, yes. Plus they have the you know, would that increase ticket sales? And there's a whole snowball rolling downhill when it comes to in-play betting in terms of the entertainment experience of being at a game. And that's a fascinating thing that we're going to see evolve.
At the show, I was at a seminar where William Hill announced that they are having a new agreement with the Vegas Golden Knights, which is the hockey team, which had a Cinderella season last year, and Cinderella seems to have lost her slipper this year so far, but well, who knows? It's early.
It's early.
So, good. All right. Anything else you saw in the sports betting for APs, or should we move on to what Richard saw on table games?
My only other thought was that there's also the Westgate Superbook has kind of separated out the Superbook, the sports betting operation there at the Westgate, and they're branding that, and they're willing to put that out to other states, and they have a very versatile business model, and I think that's a good thing for consumers, for sports bettors, because the sportsbook has always been one of those. The Superbook has always been one of those sports books that has taken the correct approach to booking sharp action. That's really good, and hopefully we're going to see them take their product to other states. Now, one thing I found is that you can't ask forward-looking questions at G2E. No one's going to tell you anything. So I don't know what states they're looking at, where they're going to go next, but he's like, but, you know, somewhere on the East Coast, you're going to see us pop up soon. So he can kind of figure out where that might be.
Sounds like New Mexico. Yeah. All right, Richard, you looked at some table games.
I did. And, you know, before I get to table games, I just want to mention Captain Jack mentioned facial recognition. And listeners of this show will know that I've always said, you know, it's not something to worry about, that it's garbage as it exists in casinos today. And every year the technology gets better, and so that is changing. And one of the things that I think is very dangerous for advantage players is there's a company whose name I forgot, but they have, I'll be able to look it up and put it in the show notes. They make kiosks that cash your slot tickets. And those kiosks have high definition cameras in them with facial recognition. And so the guy was telling me that, you know, if you put in a slot ticket that was generated, say, with somebody else's player's card, they will know that you did not generate that slot ticket, because that slot ticket is now linked with facial recognition to that player's card. They also, with this, even if you use no player's card, they can set up triggers. If you've cashed a certain number of tickets in a certain amount of time, somebody can be alerted.
Or exceed $10,000 in a day.
Or, yes, or exceed $10,000 or whatever threshold they want. And for facial recognition to work well, they need a good, clean, forward-facing shot of your face, which the reason that facial recognition did not work for the casinos that have bought it in the past is they have these kind of not-so-great overhead cameras, and they don't have a good, clean shot of your face. Well, if you use these kiosks, now they're going to have a good, clean shot of your face. And so I was asking him, will this facial recognition work with the existing surveillance cameras? And he said no. So that's the good news. But he said if you wanted to have them set up a high definition camera at certain choke points, like at entrances to the casinos, then yes, they could be alerted. Like, you know, in his mind, he's not thinking about APs. He's thinking about your good customers, right? So your whale walks in the door. It's going to recognize him and alert somebody and say, hey, your good customer is here, you know, or your whale walks up to one of these kiosks, somebody can be alerted. So anyway,
Sounds scary.
Yes, the future is coming, and I've kind of said for a long time that the death of advantage play is going to be the loss of anonymity. One of the ways that's going to happen is when we stop using cash completely, but you know, this is also going to be a problem because the facial recognition is only going to get better and more prevalent. So so that was not good to see, but inevitable, I guess. Table games, you know, when I go to G2E every year, I see all these table games and you get all excited like a kid in the candy store because all of them under the right conditions can be beat. But the problem is you never know what the game is going to actually end up when it gets placed. So a game that's dealt one way at G2E suddenly is dealt completely differently when it actually hits the casino floor. So,
or it has a $25 limit to it.
Or, yes. And that's the other thing. A lot of the trend was to rip off existing games, different versions of Hold'em, different versions of Blackjack. One of the things that seems popular are games where you push on 22, like Blackjack Switch. One game that actually looked interesting was a game where rather than pushing on 22, you push when the dealer makes 16. And it was a game where you can...
He's going to draw to that 16, but if he ever gets 16 on that...
No, if the dealer gets to 16, he stops and all hands are a push. Hmm. Right? So there are a lot of games, these blackjack variants,
where... If you're dealt two pair of 10s and the dealer gets a pair of 8s, then you've pushed. Is that
correct?
Right?
Yep.
I can see a downside to that.
Yeah, well, but now on these other games... you know, you have your pair of 10s and the dealer has a 12 and hits it with a 10. So he busted and now you push. And what this guy was telling... Now, this is a game that's actually been placed. And I guess there are 200 tables of this game in South Africa. And he said that... Now, he's the guy selling the game. But he said that the players prefer this pushing on 16 than the pushing on 22... Because they feel like with 22, the dealer already busted, they should be winning. So, but the 16, anyway, that's what they, you know, use.
That's the sales pitch.
But what they give you is you're allowed to double your bet after you see your hand and the dealer's up card. So you don't have to take another card. You just double your bet if you like your hand. Anyway, so this is a game where... obviously, the basic strategy would have to be run, and I'm sure it'd be countable. And he says that the house edge is somewhere between 0.6 and 0.8. It seems odd that he doesn't know exactly. But anyway, as I say, there are supposedly 200 placements of this game in South Africa, and apparently it's a very, very popular game. So... the fact that it's doing well means that might travel here. But again, you would have to wait until it shows up here and analyze it at that time to see the current version.
South Africa.
Yeah. Well, hey, I am sure there are people who are booking flights right now just to go down there. And
amazing. If they rent cars, do it through AutoSlash, please.
AutoSlash.com.
Don't know if they have an office in Johannesburg. But
another game that just looked really interesting to me was a Shuffle Master game where they're using a smart shoe. What that means is the shoe knows the order of all the cards. And it's a blackjack game where when the dealer gets 22, you push on 22. What's cool about this game is the dealer deals their up card and then their down card. And now this is before you play your hand, if the dealer needs to take hit cards, they pull those hit cards out of the shoe and leave them face down. So now you have the knowledge that the dealer took 3 hit cards or 4 hit cards. So the dealer's up card is a 10, and now he has 2 more cards. So you know he had to hit a stiff. Again, if they hit 22, you end up with a push. So, anyway, this game just looked interesting to me, obviously. He also said the house edge was, I think, about 0.8. obviously the game would need to be analyzed. I have no clue off the top of my head, but and again, it's a game that of course would be countable. Lots and lots of new side bets on all of the table games. Some of them are interesting, but the problem with most side bets is that you can never bet very much on them. Some of them have a lot of progressives, which obviously at some point any progressive can become positive, but again, your edge is probably not going to be that big because
the sky high variance, yeah,
and super high variance, yeah. But oh, the guy with the game in South Africa was he had they have some jackpot on their game that I forget what you needed to hit to get that jackpot, but he did say that at some point the jackpot had gotten to several hundred thousand dollars and every table was full, every spot taken 24 hours a day playing that until the jackpot was hit. So, you know, you can see where for the casino, this is a big moneymaker. Because even the square players, even on slot machines, when progressives get very high, even the square players jump on them because they know the progressives are so high. So, anyway, that was sort of what was going on in the table game world. Nothing to really get excited about until the game actually hits the casino floor, though.
All right. And there were lots of new machines. Since videopoker.com is our one of our sponsors, we'll first look at video poker machines, and including some by videopoker.com and some by others. IGT dominates the video poker market, so the new video poker games are largely in the IGT area, not exclusively.
Oh, you know what? Before you go on, I just have to say this. I went to the IGT booth.
Yes.
And I was taking a picture of one of the slots. I don't even remember why. And some guy comes up to me and says, "No pictures." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Well, we're protecting our intellectual property." And I said, "I thought you were here to announce these machines to the world, like, and to the gaming world." And anyway, I just thought it was really sort of crazy that they wouldn't want someone there with a press badge taking a picture of one of their machines.
And they'll give you pictures. They'll give you...
He didn't mention that. Oh, he also thought it was suspicious that my badge had gotten turned around.
Well, you are a suspicious guy. Yeah, no question about it. And I'm, and who knows whose name was on that badge. But anyway, I took pictures of machines. But in the IGT booth, they know exactly who I am. And so, one of the IGT games by, videopoker.com. The reason it's both is videopoker.com invents games, and then they usually put them out through IGT. It's called Lucky 8. This is a triple play or a five-play game worth a wheel. You spend an extra 5 coins per line for the wheel. You get 1 wheel spin for dealt 3 of a kind. If you get it, the wheel spins, and you get numbers ending with 8, like starting from 188 to 388 up to 8,888. And on rare occasions, you end up getting a dragon, and then everything's approximately doubled up to a top prize of 18,888. There are some extra prizes for 3-of-a-kind. Eights get 18 coins rather than 15. It's hard to get excited about that. But eights full get 88 coins rather than 45 or 40. And four eights gets 2888 rather than 250. So that is interesting.
Wait, 2888 rather than 250?
Yes. That's what four eights pay.
Wow.
So you're always going to break eights full. And And you get this wheel spin because it's a, well, if it's dealt, if at least three of a kind or full house is dealt, you get the wheel spin. It has very few changes from a regular game. It has Chinese symbols all over the place. Eight's a particularly lucky number in Asia, apparently. So there's that new game.
Was there a house edge on? I mean, it would depend on the pay table, right? But
yeah, the pay table wasn't announced. Often they'll announce it later on videopoker.com. Usually on the help screens, they'll tell you what, or sometimes they'll tell you what the pay schedule is. But it is not, you're not going to be able to figure it out yourself because there's this wheel there. And this wheel is not evenly weighted. You're going to get the 88-88 significantly less frequently than you get 188. So without knowing the exact weights, you're not going to be able to figure it out without their help. Another new game, which is basically straight gambling, is called Max Action Poker. This is similar to Super Triple Play. In Super Triple Play, you bet more than five coins, and a lot of pay schedule categories go up with a slight increase of EV for each higher coin. In Max Action, it goes higher. You can bet up to 10 coins, and each additional coin you bet improves the return and the variance. But also, it changes the strategy because they also move up how much you get for full houses and flushes and straights, and the ratio changes, and so how you play a 3-4-5 of one hand compared to a king-queen of another suit can vary depending on whether you're playing five coins or eight coins. So if you're going to get good at this game, you're going to have to specialize in one game and one denomination or one number of coins and learn that, because you cannot, everyone changes, and there's like 14 different game types, and but it's a lot of gambling, a lot of high variance. High variance means it's heaven or hell, and frequently hell. You have to get used to that. They have a game called Stack the Deck. This is an intriguing game. You bet seven coins per hand, and when you get three of a kind, full houses, four of a kinds, or four of the royal, you receive from three to five extra cards that they slide into the deck before you draw. And whether it's three or five kind of depends on the game family. So let's say you're dealt 3-3-3-6-6 in double-double bonus. Now, the correct play in normal double-double bonus is to hold the full house. Here, since threes are the number you get, they're going to give you five extra threes. So instead of having 47 cards still out there, you now have 52 cards, and six of them are threes. And so you're going to get four threes, including four threes and a kicker, significantly more times, and they have an extra pay schedule category for five threes, which I think comes out to be about 1 in 88 from that position. So you're always going to be breaking full houses to go for this. When you get four to the royal, they will give you that royal card an extra 3 to 5 times. And then, so now instead of a 1 in 47 chance, you have a 6 in 52 or whatever it is to get that royal. They have what they call a baby royal, which is a king to nine suited, which pays 2,000 coins, which is significantly more than the 250 you get in a straight flush. So the game requires significantly more strategies, variations, but the number of hands that you change your strategy on aren't that frequent. Because if you're not dealt three of a kinds or better, it's just kind of normal video poker. And it's a 10-coin bet to pay for these extra bonuses. So it sounds kind of intriguing. Excuse me, it's a 7-coin bet. Another game in IGT that is not Action Gaming, or Action Gaming is another word, another name for videopoker.com, is called Double Big Wheel Poker. Double Big Wheel Poker is very similar to Double Super Times Pay, where in Double Super Times Pay, you get a multiplier sometimes on the deal, sometimes on the draw, or both, and it multiplies all the hands, and you pay 7 coins for that. In this game, you pay 10 coins, and you, when you get the multiplier, either on the deal or on the draw, it's always two multipliers. There's one wheel going clockwise and one wheel going counterclockwise, and they multiply together. So if you get a 2 and a 3, then you get a 6 multiplier on them. The games are made to basically increase variance and not EV. They do go up. So 9-6 jacks, instead of a lousy 99.54, you get a robust 99.55. By the way, they structure the multipliers. So that's not the reason you're playing it. But it is double the coin in and a more variance. And for a lot of people, a variance rhymes with fun. They have a multi-strike wheel poker. Multi-strike, leading edge design, has been around for years. This is a four-line game where you pay for 4 lines at once, and if you blow out on the first line, you're dead. But if you get at least your money back on the first line, then you play the second line now for free at double the payouts. And then if you get something there, you pay the next line up at 4 times the payout and the next line up for 8 times the payout. Now for an additional 5 coins bet. If on the top line you get a dealt payout, which means at least your money back, then you get to spin the wheel. And on average, it is that extra 5 coins pays, so it's like instead of getting 8x on the top line, you're actually on average getting about 16x. So this will be, you're going to play a slightly more conservative strategy because you really want to get up. Now, what we, by conservative, I mean a more of a chance to get something rather than the highest something now. As an example, in 9-6 jacks or better, on the 4x level of multi-strike, we normally teach you that if you're dealt king queen off suits and a pair of sevens and something else, you'd hold the pair of sevens. In regular multi-strike, here you'd hold the king queen because you have more chance of getting something, I mean a high pair, to move you up to that top line. So it's going to be coming out in January. The inventors of the game, Leading Edge Design, have promised to send me notes. And so I'll be writing about it in my column that you see on bobdancer.com or gamblingwithanedge.com when the game actually is getting placed, which will give you more how much the game is worth and how you affect the strategy. Another new game is called Ultimate X Wheel Poker. It's a new year, another Ultimate X variation. Ultimate X is a 10 coin per line game where a score this hand gives you multipliers for next hand. On the this version, you pay an extra 5 coins per game, not per line. So, I mean, that would make it 35 coins for triple play and 55 coins for five play. And what that does is it changes the top multiplier for full houses or straight flushes and deuces variation. So normally full houses would get a multiplier of 12, which is as good as it gets in this game. Now, there are 7 different levels between 14x, 15x, 16x, 17x, up to 20x, and a few flat 250 coins, 500 coins, 1,000 coins, or 2,000 coins, times whatever multipliers existed. I played it a lot. I did not get any of those coin amounts. But you know, your average bet is 18x, you know, 17x, 18x, which is significantly different. This is going to change your strategy and your variance. With the higher multipliers, then that changes the way you go for things. And so there's a full houses are worth more in this game than they normally would. So people who play double-double bonus and they're just dealt aces and fours and with a five, the typical play is to just hold the aces, which is you would in double-double bonus. In this game, you hold two pair because you're nine times more likely to get a full house starting from two pair than you are from just a pair. But if the multipliers are high enough, then you just hold the aces. So it's an interesting game. Have to work out the strategy. For most people, the strategy on Ultimate X Variations is too tough to work out yourself. Wizard of Odds has produced some for some variations, and he may do so again. The final thing I want to talk about that VideoPoker.com did, and this is not really for APs at all, but they've added two different games, one Multi-Strike and one Super Times Pay, and put them on a Keno game. A Keno game is a mind-numbing pick the numbers and pray. But they added the Multi-Strike feature and the Super Times Pay on two separate games. These are popular features in video poker game, which are more games of skill, and they're adding it to the Keno games to bring largely Keno players and video poker players are different people, different mindsets. So they're adding, so this is likely to be successful for them. You're not going to find me playing there, but I wish them well on that. Okay, outside of videopoker.com, Gamblit, G-A-M-B-L-I-T, has a large number of skill-based games. They had Pac-Man, which is not quite what you played decades ago, but it's similar. They had it in both a single person, you against the machine, and they had it interactive where there's four different people playing at once, where you're trying to gobble up these buttons and gobble up the other people if you're bigger than they are, but trying to stay away from them if you're not. So it was a lot of fun. I don't know how beatable it was. I'm a 71-year-old man. My reflexes aren't as good as they used to be. This is not going to be my game of sport, but it looked like it would be a lot of fun. They had a version of Deal or No Deal, where there's cards, again, single version, single-person version or four-person version, and you grab cards and you compete against others, and clearly the better you get at it, the better your score is going to be. Whether it's beatable or not, I have no idea.
We saw those kind of games last year at yes. G2E as well. I haven't seen those show up on the casino floor, so
nor
I'm not sure
I.
what's going on with that.
They were fun to play, and
yeah.
But
I can't see like the four person version of the game. I can't see it generating much revenue unless they set. Like, I can see kind of drunk millennials coming out. And,
yes.
And the bet was only $4 or $8 per person.
Yes.
And, you know, so unless they set it at a ridiculous theo, I can't see it making a lot of money. But
I did notice that in that Gamblit booth, there was definitely a millennial demographic.
And you could see they were definitely gearing it for that.
Yes.
There were a number of games that looked like the kind of apps on games that you get bad apps on your phone to play. You know, but yeah, I agree. I did see, for those of you who do play slot machines with an edge, it did look like there were a lot of games coming that were going to be good for the slot players.
Meaning must-hit buys or?
Well, there are a lot
progressives
of,
or?
Yeah, those and other games.
Other games
have,
that we don't want to talk about.
Multiple states, you know, so games that have multiple states are good things, you know.
Like California and New Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like that.
There was a company called Gaming Arts, which I hadn't heard of before, and they had this box called Casino Wizard. It had a blackjack game on it, which was it had favorable rules at the show, but upon checking, the exact rules on the box are configurable by the house. So it may or may not be good games when you get it. But one advantage is you can play up to three hands. So when you're playing three hands, you're looking at seven cards before you're making your decision. You're looking at both of your cards plus the dealer's up card. And so there's some minor card countable situations in there, but some. And it's shuffled after every deal.
You know, I also want to mention another big push. I've been saying, you know, for a number of years that 5 or 10 years from now, there will be no dealers in casinos. It'll all be machines of some sort. And there is a big push toward that. So there, you're seeing a lot of these stadium games where you can have one dealer who's now dealing to 50 or 60 people, you know, with these stadiums. And a lot of them, they'll have three or four dealers dealing three or four different games that you can play at the same stadium seat. So, yeah, not a big surprise. They save on the cost of the employees. But
these are expensive machines to put out there.
Yeah, but a lot cheaper than paying for employees.
I'm not sure. It's, I guess, over time. There's another company called Next Gaming. And they had three or four shoot 'em up variations where you're trying to shoot asteroids, one's called Bust a Move, where you're popping balloons and things. And these have been on social media apps for a while. And the guy there assured me there's a random number generator and nobody can have a house edge. Whether that's true or not, some of you'll have to figure out for yourself. I'm not sure. And there were several others that Konami had one that looked kind of interesting, but he said, well, we're going to make a lot of changes, so you can talk about it next year. So I will. All right. So those are the games that I saw. We're going to take a brief commercial, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some more things. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. The promotion during October is called Free Play with a Kicker. Each week on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you pick up your normal free play amount. If you pick it up that week, you get that same amount Friday or Saturday. If you pick up all 8 free play amounts on Monday, October 29th, you get a double free play pickup. At videopoker.com, we've been talking about them all day. So I'm not going to talk about a new game there. The one thing I want to mention is they're offering our listeners a free one-month membership to their gold membership, which gets you correction on a lot of games that you don't normally get. They're hoping you decide to sign up for good, but it's new members only, videopoker.com/GWAE. 30 days of gold for free, expires the end of this year. Autoslash.com is one of our new sponsors. Richard, tell us about them.
Well, here's what we like about Autoslash.com. I have 2 upcoming car rentals that I've booked. So when you go to the site, the first thing that happens is they have all these check boxes that say, like, do you have a Discover card or a Costco card or whatever? Any possible discount, you put in your check boxes, and they can find those discounts in addition to the other discounts they find. So then I put in the dates that I wanted the vehicle. And they found me a price, and they offered me 17% to pay for it now, 17% discount if I paid for it now. I still am able to cancel that up to 48 hours before I actually pick up the vehicle. But the best thing about them is they have this tracker. So any time between now and the time that I pick up the car, if they find a lower price, I get an email that says, hey, the price just went down. Click here. You click there, and now you can rebook at the lower price. So on average, the average customer saves 30% over other car rental sites, and Autoslash.com is always free. So highly recommended.
Yeah, and one of the things you mentioned earlier is you can do a reservation at an airport and do another reservation in the same city a mile away from the airport. And one might be cheaper than the other.
Yeah, and I've actually done that for my trip in February coming up. I've made two reservations, and one of them is cheaper than the other, but I will just let them sit there and see. The price will keep going down, and I'll pick whichever one is cheaper when the time comes.
Can the price go up?
No.
That's good.
Once you've picked the reservation, no, it can't go up.
All right. We'll get back to Captain Jack now. Roulette machines. During the break, Jack, you were telling us a little bit about a conversation you had about roulette machine randomness.
Right. So I guess you could chalk this up to what was the most fascinating conversation you had on the exhibit floor at G2E. And so I was walking around and I see one of the vendors is Kamei roulette wheels. And in years past, I've read patents on games as a way of finding advantage plays. You read the patents on how the games operate, how machines operate, different things. And Kamei creates this Kamei slingshot, is what their patented technique is, which basically can allow a roulette machine to defy the physics of ball deceleration when it comes to roulette play. And how they do that is they have a puff of air that can augment the ball going around the outer cylinder of the roulette wheel before dropping onto the numbered spaces. And I've always been very curious about this because it just feels to me like that shouldn't be allowed, you know, because it shouldn't be something that regular players don't know about and is happening. So I go to ask a question, and the gentleman that steps forward to answer my query is Andrew Kamei, the guy that actually wrote the patent, that founded the company, the Kamei Roulette Company. And he had a very frank conversation with me about how it works. He says it is not used to thwart clockers. However, it is used to increase the randomness, which, in my opinion, thwarts the clockers of anyone who's trying to clock one of those roulette wheels.
Well, how do you increase randomness?
Right, exactly.
I mean, random is random, right?
Exactly. So it was very interesting. I said, is this approved in all jurisdictions, that it can be used? And he said, where it's approved, it is used, and where it is not approved, it is not used. You know, and he's I don't know if he's British or Australian, but he said it in a very polite way to me. And that was just a fascinating conversation to have. I don't think he's ever met somebody who's read his patent, and I didn't expect to have a question being answered by the patent writer himself.
So coincidentally, I, making my way around the floor, was trying to get an answer to a question that I've had for over a year now, which is, are these dice and roulette machines considered slot machines, which means they can set the hold to whatever they want? Or is it like video poker where it has to be dealt from a 52-card deck, right? And they all claimed that the roulette machines, the numbers hit 1 in 38, that it was a physical machine and that you could not change the hold. And they claimed the same thing for the dice machines. Now, I'm not sure that I believe them, but that is what every different company told me. And Interblock is another company that has puffs of air that not only can slow the ball down in roulette, it can also speed the ball up. And coincidentally, those are the only two companies that I'm aware of where you're allowed to bet after the ball has been released. Now, if there are many other machines where you must bet before the ball actually is spun, and I don't know why, random should be random. It can't be more random, or it could be less than random, but not more than random. So anyway, that it was an interesting area, and what I found is mostly you talk to salesmen. You actually got to talk to somebody who really, yep. But I don't buy his explanation.
Yeah.
Actually, could see one interpretation of the more than random, meaning that, random and generally too many people means you have no idea what's going to happen. If you can clock a wheel, you have a good sense as to what quarter of the wheel the ball is going to end in, even though it's random. if they can make it so even the best clockers cannot have that sense as to which quarter of the wheel it's random, it's going to land in. I could see how they could argue that means it's more random, meaning less trackable. Maybe I'm wordsmithing, but that's why they pay me the big bucks. I don't know what it is. So, Captain Jack, thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
2 weeks in a row. This is very pleasant. Richard, thank you. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.